Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health and Treaty Negotiations Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the new Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission and Treaty Cross-Claims Policy, as Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei is upset that the Crown is using land within their rohe or boundaries as redress for another iwi, Hauraki Maratahu, is the minister. I kind of wanted to kick things off this week by talking about the new Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, which was already inaugurated earlier this week. So why is this commission set up instead of keeping the Mental Health Commissioner?
We had the Mental Health Commissioner who worked out of the Health and Disability Commission, so it was one person. And he had some support there. But this comes out of the review of mental health and addiction services in New Zealand that was conducted or started in 2018. It reported in 2019 and produced a report called He Ara Oranga and the Healthy Pathway, and basically concluded that we've got major problems with our mental health and addiction services. And one of the things that was lacking was a concentrated level of strategic leadership that had the input of those involved in the sector, including consumers of services or those with lived experience. So the new Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has been established, and it's the people on its board includes people from caregivers in the sector, as well as those who've been through those sorts of services, so people with lived experience. Its job is to monitor the services and to present its own sort of plans and suggestions for the government and the Minister of Health to take up in terms of improving mental health care and addiction services across New Zealand. So it's got a much more comprehensive role than the Mental Health Commissioner had in the Health and Disability Commission. But that role was more reactive than providing strategic leadership.
Right. He Ara Oranga made 38 recommendations in the report back in 2019 regarding on mental health. How much progress has the government made on this?
We've made some progress. I mean, there was a total of $1.9 billion allocated to a whole mental health and addiction services in the 2019 budget. Not all of it went to health initiatives. Some of it went to to housing and other things, improving quality of housing and support for people getting employment and what have you who struggled to get employment. But a big chunk went to health, and a lot of that went to what we're calling the Access and Choice Program, which is for those with mild to moderate mental health issues, so the ones who don't need acute services, aren't being admitted to hospital, but need counselling and talk therapies and so on. A lot more money has gone into that. We've signed up, I think 15 out of the 20 DHBs now have signed up to programs to get, so that GPs can more readily get access to talk therapies for patients who need that sort of help. There's some phenomenal figure, thousands of more people have had those sorts of consultations in the last 18 months. So I'm pleased with that sort of progress. It is true that there are other areas where money has been allocated and we just haven't made progress with the programs in the way that I would like, but we have a pretty active monitoring program on that. The new Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission is also providing oversight for that, and the pressure is on for the Ministry of Health to continue to roll out those other initiatives.
Right, I want to go on to a letter by the outgoing Mental Health Commissioner, Kevin Allen. He said the government, the Ministry of Health, Mental Health Implementation Plan, dated Kia Kaha, released back in November, did not address the concerns he raised on the issue, and there is lack of a transparent action plan to implement the recommendations. What do you think of this?
Yeah, he said he actually wrote his report originally in June, and he wrote to me in November seeking a response to it. So what he said in June may have been correct, but there is a plan. We have it, and the ministry has it, and it's following the He Ara Oranga report and fulfilling that. A lot of time has gone into making sure we have the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission set up. We had an interim commission set up. They also did a report on progress on the implementation of the recommendations of He Ara Oranga. They said that there's been good progress made in some areas, not enough in other areas. So pretty much, I think, as at November, lined up with where Kevin Allen had got to. But, look, I take his, the points that he's made. I think further progress has been made, but I agree with both Kevin Allen and the interim Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission is, even with the money that's been allocated and the plan that's been in place, we are still behind where we would like to be in many areas, and the pressure is on the Ministry of Health to catch up.
When will the report by the Interim Commission be released?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I'm surprised it hasn't been released, to be honest. I've had it since the end of last year, but I can certainly clarify exactly when that is going to be made available. I didn't regard it as a particularly secret or confidential report. I got it at the end of last year. So, look, let me clarify when that can be released.
Mr. Allen also said he is concerned that the government might be too distracted on the health sector review instead to be focusing on enacting He Ara Oranga's recommendations. Do you have any comments on this?
I think it's an unusual comment to make. I mean, the Minister of Health is responsible for all the healthcare provision, primary and community, secondary, tertiary, all forms of healthcare. The ministry doesn't, you know, obviously mental health and addictions is a very important area, but there are other very important areas as well. So the ministry is quite equipped to be doing more than one thing at a time. To the extent that he is concerned that a restructuring of the sector, particularly at the administrative level, might lead to a deterioration in services, I don't believe that's the case. I think we've had a review of the health services generally and the Ministry of Health. There's some very good recommendations about how we can, I think, improve consistency and cohesion across New Zealand as a whole. I mean, the single biggest complaint I get, and when I look at the correspondence I get every day, and what you see is that depending on where you are, in some cases, it determines the level of health care that you get, and it just shouldn't be like that. So I am determined to, carry on with the Health and Disability System Review Report recommendations. That will mean change, but I'm confident that we can both manage that change and do so in a way that is sensitive to the need to continue the rollout of He Ara Oranga, continue improving consistency of service provision, continue the vaccination rollout or start the vaccination rollout for COVID, and the other immunisation programs that have to happen as well. So there's a lot going on, but it's resourced and it's supported, and we're getting there.
Right, but still focusing on the mental health issue, so far there is only one follow-up by the Ministry of Health on He Ara Oranga, and there's the COVID-19 associated short-term action plan released back in last November. When will we see longer-term plans from the government on enacting the inquiry's recommendations?
Well, we are seeing that already. I mean, I talked about the access and choice program for talk therapies and easier access at the primary care level. I mean, there's also extending or expanding or adding residential capacity for, some mental health units and addiction facilities. I mean, I've approved a swag of additional buildings and so on for around the country just at the end of last year for that. We know that there's a shortage of residential spaces, so we're in the process of expanding that capacity. The stuff that, for example, in the justice sector, the alcohol and other drug courts, we're continuing to roll out, and health is doing its bit to make sure that the treatment services are there for those sorts of interventions. So I'm confident that there's a lot going on to fulfil the recommendations of the report. I think the critical thing from the report, a lot hinged on the capacity of a new body, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, to do good quality data gathering, analysis, monitoring of what's going on, and ensuring the longer-term strategy is developed and implemented. So, we do look to the new Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission to provide a level of leadership that hasn't been there until now.
Right. Moving on from mental health, the Mental Health Commission, now Ngāti Whātua Ōrake had a hikoi against cross-claims on settlements earlier this week because the Crown intended to give two areas that the iwi already have titles to the Maru Tuahu Collective. So for most of the us who don't understand this policy, what are cross claims?
So this is where you get areas, in fact, many areas around New Zealand where more than one iwi have a set of interests. I think you use the word titles there, which suggests kind of land ownership. There's a variety of different rights and interests that iwi have in particular areas with land. It's not always just about getting ownership title. Sometimes it's about just an acknowledgement that they have a stake in that area, or that they historically had a presence in a particular area. So that's one aspect of it. The other is when the Crown is providing redress, where it's Crown-owned land and an iwi who is negotiating with the Crown clearly establishes ahika, continuous presence, or historical connection to an area, then they tend to queue up and they can have land returned to them. Sometimes there isn't Crown-owned land, there's private land, and the Crown will purchase land and make that available as part of redress to iwi. And the commercial land is, sometimes it's a question about providing a commercial opportunity. In Tamaki Makaurau, in Auckland, there are a number of iwi who have historical claims because of their historical presence in that area. The Marutuahu collective of iwi, there's about five of them, have just that. And so when we negotiated with Marutuahu, offers were made of either interest in land, so not ownership, but an acknowledgement of, and in some cases the offer of commercial property. There is another iwi up there, Te Akitau o Waihua, which is not a Marutuahu iwi, it stands on its own. They've been offered some redress that falls within the Ngāti Whaitu Ōrākei area, but commercial land, so not Crown-owned. Ngāti Whaitua has a view that since their settlement with the Crown in 2011, their rights are exclusive. And what they have been doing is going to court pretty much ever since then to assert their view that their rights are exclusive, and the Crown cannot offer any other form of redress in Tamaki Makaurau without Ngāti Whaitua Ōrākei's agreement. And we just disagree with that, and other iwi disagree with that. It went all the way to the Supreme Court in about 2018, where the Supreme Court said Ngāti Whaitua has a right to argue that point. The Supreme Court didn't decide it. And they said now Ngāti Whaitua must go back to the High Court to argue that particular point. So them being in the High Court this week is them arguing that point, but it is disagreed with by others, and so it is right that the court should determine that. The Crown has encouraged and tried to facilitate tikanga-based processes, that is to say processes just between iwi to try and get it resolved over the last two or three years, but that hasn't led to agreement in most cases, and so the parties are resorting to their rights to go to court. That's what they're doing.
Have you spoken to both iwi yet?
Well, I was involved. I was involved in the last couple of years in various discussions with each of them. In one case, I think I did a Zoom call with both of them. I think in the middle of lockdown last year. So I have had some involvement. The nature of tikanga-based processes is that the Crown is not typically involved, except to support and sometimes to resource it. The Crown was asked to provide a facilitator, and we did that, and then we were asked to withdraw the facilitator because people were talking, but even with that, it didn't lead to agreement. And I certainly urged parties to really work hard to strive to get agreement. It was pretty clear that by the end of last year, beginning of this year, they couldn't reach agreement. Ngāti Whaitua exercised its rights to go to court, and that's where it is now.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.